Millions of women responded to allegations of sexual harassment against figures in the entertainment industry, members of Congress, prominent journalists, through the hashtag MeToo. Workplace experts say another common problem affecting mostly women is workplace bullying. In a 2011 Harris Interactive poll, 34% of working women reported some form of workplace bullying. More than two-thirds of those incidents involved actions by male supervisors. Bullying can take the form of verbal abuse, humiliation, or sabotaging an employee's job performance. Workplace experts say women also face a double standard in terms of expectations. Illinois State University psychology professor Leandra Paris tells GLT's Judy Valente it's more difficult for women to find redress for these types of workplace problems.
So when we look at bullying, we have four different components that we're looking for. One is that it's intentional, so it's not something that just accidentally happened or that they didn't mean. It's something that's repeated, so it happens more than once, and it causes distress. So if the victim doesn't feel like they're being bullied, then we don't really count that. And then the other part that's really important and sort of heavily debated is that there's a power differential. So usually when we consider bullying, the perpetrator has some sort of physical or social power over the victim. So when we're looking at whether or not it's happening in the workplace, it's not uncommon for that to fall to the boss because they naturally have that power differential.
An interesting statistic that came out of the Workplace Bullying Institute is that the vast majority of bullying comes from your boss. It's a boss bullying an employee. What form does that take?
It can take a couple of different, I think, areas. One would be physical, so I'm assuming that this is probably not someone hitting or kicking their employees or they'd be fired. But usually it's more relational, so leaving them out, undermining them, lying about them, or verbal aggression, just calling them names or telling them that they're not doing a good job and psychologically trying to undermine their state.
Does this affect women more than men in your experience?
So what we know from the research is that women who observe others being bullied actually do physiologically and emotionally experience more distress than men do. So they are more likely, if they see it and experience it, to have sort of a weightier consequence.
Is part of the problem that in the vast majority of companies, the supervisors are going to be men and their, you know, their women employees will be targets?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of things that happen. It's sort of an intersectionality between how men and women relate to each other, plus the power in the room. And so men who already have power, you add on the power of being the supervisor, and now you have this huge power differential that's going to put that woman at risk. And I think you can just as easily have a woman be a supervisor and be a bully. It kind of comes off differently. Part of that is because if there's a male who's an employee and the woman's trying to bully him, he can bully back. We see that often, that men can kind of bully back and it's okay. But if a woman does that, it's not.
Well, this gets to another item which women face in the workplace, and that's the double standard.
Mm-hmm.
A man who expresses a forceful opinion or point of view is a strong employee. A woman who does so is shrill or worse. I don't want to use the B word. Talk about that and the commonality of that.
You know, it's interesting. I read an article this morning that kind of, I think, helps explain a little bit of that. What we know is that men are more aggressive when they're showing any sort of emotion. And then for women, we are sort of socialized to be the quiet, submissive sort of type. And what we see is that men, even if they're not being socialized to be hostile as far as their sexism, there is this term of benevolent sexism, where they're taught that they're supposed to come in and save the woman, and she's the princess, she's a damsel in distress. And then there's a fine line between that and she's supposed to be submissive, she does what you tell her to do because you're her protector. And that gets socialized very, very early on for both men and women. And research shows that men sort of internalize that. So if you hear that your entire life and then you go into the workplace, you're naturally going to do that. You're still going to be doing that. You're going to be coming in, you're going to be trying to save the women, or you're going to be trying to, you know, kind of undermine their power. Because when they then speak and go against that schema, it's a much bigger deal because you're not supposed to be the knight in shining armor. I am. And so that's where that comes from.
Why is it so difficult for men to accept a disagreement or a differing opinion from a woman, or interpret that as being somehow disrespectful on the part of the female employee, where they possibly would not have the same reaction to a man saying the exact same thing?
You know, I have run into this. And so I think it's a little, it causes a lot of emotionality in me, obviously. So I'll try to answer this without having that bleed in. But really, honestly, I don't, all I can tell is what I feel and what those of us who have experienced that kind of feel. And it's almost like how dare you question my authority? How dare you question anything that I say, frankly? And then also just a sense of sort of embarrassment that there's this woman who sort of like came out, right, and stood up and maybe corrected them. And then if a man does it, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, punch each other's shoulders or whatever. But in my experience, those are actually few and far between as far as like outwardly being like, I don't agree with you. I think it's more likely in my experience to have where other people in the room accept what they say over me. So, for example, I was in a situation where it was me and a colleague and we're in a clinic and the students were introducing us and they introduced him as, you know, Dr. So-and-so and then me as Leandra Paris. And it never even occurred to him. And then like later when it came up, he was mortified and he was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even notice. I should have corrected that. And so I think it's not just the person standing next to you, the man, it's the women and the other men in the room who let it continue to happen.
Yeah, that's a good point that you make, because sometimes men may not know, male supervisors may not know how they come off to a woman. And you know, is there anything that the woman can do to say without jeopardizing her job, you know, I didn't feel good when you said that to me, or I felt that was somewhat disrespectful. How can a woman then help a male supervisor to understand how he is coming off?
I think that gets tricky. So as one of the younger faculty and as, you know, not tenured, I'm very fortunate to have a relationship with most of the men in my life that I feel like I could go to them and be like, hey, you know, the student introduced you as Dr. So-and-so and not me. So, you know, let's talk about how that made me kind of feel. And I will say that has a happy ending. He went on to then introduce me as Dr. Leandra Paris everywhere we went. But I think you have to be careful when you have to think about why they're doing what they're doing. Was it unintentional? Because then it's not bullying, right? Going back to our definition. And then I think really just being honest with them and doing it without emotionality. So I know in all the research I've done, the minute you start to show any emotion, be it anger or sadness or happiness, that moment gets undermined. And so a woman has to be even more careful than men when they go to approach their boss to say something, to make sure they've practiced it and make sure that all that emotionality is taken out of the equation.
You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Judy Valente. I'm here with Dr. Leandra Paris of the ISU Psychology Department. We're talking about the bullying that takes place of women beyond sexual harassment in the workplace. You mentioned your own personal experience. What other anecdotes or stories have you heard from women about bullying by a boss or the double standard, the quintessential double standard that women face?
Since working here and starting in academia, a lot of it is around maternity and being a mother. And I wasn't expecting that. And it wasn't just from men. It was from other women. And so I have a really hard time sort of being like, oh, it's all the men's fault, because there are so many times where I've been in a room and sexism was completely supported by the other women in the room.
In what way? Give me an example.
Right. For example, there are no sanitary napkin bins in the stalls in most of the bathrooms that I have been on in campus. So I went to my boss and I was like, hey, I would really like to have a bin inside the stall, which is best practice per OSHA regulations, to dispose of my sanitary napkins. And he was completely like, he was like, I had no idea. I mean, how would he doesn't go in the women's bathroom? And then I brought it up later to, you know, a mixed gender room. And the women were like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And I was like, well, wait, like, yesterday, the trash can had been moved out by the elevator. So I had to take my sanitary napkin and throw it out by the elevator, which is an OSHA violation, by the way. And they were just like, oh, you know, you just have to deal with it. Like, it's, and I'm like, what planet are you on right now? And the men are looking at me like, I don't really know what to say about this. Like, do I have a right to say anything? And here was an example of like a really small, systematic, sexist thing that happens in multiple places, multiple workplaces. And the one time where I was basically saying, I feel more comfortable going to the bathroom in a dive bar because they have a sanitary napkin disposal bin, I expected the women, whether they are postmenopausal or not, to kind of say, yeah, you know what, that would be nice. And instead, I got the exact opposite.
Right. So it's you know, women can be a problem, too, in some of these issues. I have to ask you about what's happening at a nationwide level. We've had a female senator, U.S. senator, told by a male U.S. senator to just sit down and basically shut up. And women who have spoken up on other issues, especially on sexual harassment, then are attacked by their male colleagues. What do you see on the national level, and how do you think that's going to play out in individual lives of women?
Right. Well, I think it's hard to hold anyone accountable when the highest office in your country doesn't hold himself accountable for how he treats women. So
you're talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah. Trying to be diplomatic. And so that, I think, causes a narrative that allows that to happen and makes people think that it's okay, that we can now kind of tell women to sit down and shut up. And I think the other thing is that when we as women see that, and you look at the voter base, right? Like, no one hates a successful woman like a woman. And so I, at least I can speak for me and some of my other colleagues, when we hear about these senators being treated so poorly, is like, if they'll do that in public, what do they think of me face to face? And then what about the women who see it too and still go out and vote for these people? Still go out and say, yeah, he may have molested some kids, but that's fine. He can still be a senator. Like, I think we have to hold each other accountable. We spend so much time going on and on and on about the men in our lives who treat us poorly, but we don't really support each other. We don't jump on that bandwagon. And as far as individual lives, I know that with a lot of people coming out and people feeling like now is a safe time to come forward, there are also the other people who think, wow, it's really still not. So I just had a conversation 2 weeks ago with someone who was debating on whether or not to come forward about sexual harassment. And we literally did a pros and cons list. You know, you're going to be thrown through the mud. You're going to have, there's going to be this full investigation. And then there's, you know, and it may not come out to be anything that makes you feel satisfied. So women are still having to do all of this mental cognitive work just to determine whether or not it's safe to even say something. And that is something that I just don't see going away while we're allowing things like this to happen in a public forum.
Do you think things have improved a little bit since the Me Too revolution, so to speak, has taken place? Now, it's focused on sexual harassment, and what we're talking about is other forms of mm-hmm. harassment that's not sexual in the workplace by people in positions of power. Do you think there's been any improvement, or is it so many women are just afraid this too will pass and we'll go back to the old ways?
I've seen both. So I think in some ways, for me, it was enlightening to see everyone, you know, doing the hashtag Me Too. And I had no idea that that many of my friends had similar experience. Like, none of us even talked about it. And so I think it opened up a dialogue that wasn't there before. But at the same time, I think there are plenty of people who were like, movements come and go. And we see them rise up and then they peter out. And so I think we just have to see, you know, with the Time article coming out, I think that will help. But we'll have to kind of see where it goes, because there are plenty of women who are like, I've been doing this battle for decades and haven't gotten anywhere. Why would this be any different?
You're talking about Time magazine choosing the Me Too women as mm-hmm. their people of the year.
Yeah.
Leandra Paris is a professor in the psychology department at Illinois State University. She's an expert on the area of bullying. Thanks so much for talking about all of this.
You're welcome.
I'm Judy Valente.
The magazine Psychology Today calls workplace bullying a silent epidemic. Studies have shown bullying is the most common among managers who are ill at ease in their supervisory roles. Researchers found this kind of behavior leads to increased levels of stress among employees, higher rates of absenteeism, and higher than normal attrition rates.